This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Baruchim Abayim, welcome everyone. I hope everyone is having an amazing day. We have a fantastic subject, Sfiras HaOmer. This is my favorite part of the day. Learning together with you, teaching Torah, it's the most enjoyable part of the day. And I'll share with you something. The most difficult part of the day is what I had to do recently, I have a responsibility now, and that is we are, Baruch Hashem, building a Makom Torah to broadcast our shiurim for our kehila, for our live shiurim, for all the operation of Harbatzas Torah. It is not an easy or enjoyable job to fundraise, but it is unfortunately, or fortunately, very necessary. So if anybody could help us out, even if you don't live in our neighborhood, this is going to be the center from where all the shiurim are going to be given from. There are building dedications available. You could go to our site, rabbidg.com, and you could have a partnership in the Harbatzas Torah, whatever you could do to help us out, so that we could quickly get back to focusing on the shiurim. It would be a great zchus and a very personal favor. Okay, Parshas Emor. We know Parshas Emor is a parsha of the Mayadim. We have two major parshas of Mayadim in the Torah. We have Parshas Emor in Vayikra. We have Parshas Pinchas in Bamidbar. And the difference between Emor and Pinchas, Emor tells you about the mitzvahs of the Yom Tov. Pinchas tells you about the karbanos of the Yom Tov. And in Parshas Emor, we have... what happened here? In Parshas Emor, we have the subject of Sfiras HaOmer, as if Sfira is one of the Yomim Tovim. It's part of the sequence of Yom Tov, beginning with Pesach, going through the Yimei HaSfira, ending in Shavuos, then Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, Sukkos. We, according to the Roikeach, after the Sukkos, and it says, Eile Moyadei Hashem Mikra Kodesh, so we have the a remez to Chanukah and to Purim. And in the Parsha of the Yomim Tovim, we have the mitzvah of Sfiros, Sefartem Lachem Yimachos HaShabbos, Miyoyim HaViyachem Esoyim HaTnufa. You should count from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you bring the Oymer of waving. Oymer, of course, is a measurement. Sheva Shabbosos Tmimos Tiyena, seven Sabbaths that should be complete. Ad Mimachras HaShabbos HaShviyas, until the day after Shabbos, the seventh one, Tisperu Chamishim Yom, you should count 50 days, Vehikravtem Mincha Chadosh Al Hashem, and then you bring a new offering to God. And as is well known, there was a very basic machloikis between the tzedukim and the prushim regarding the proper... we have machloikis between the tzedukim and the prushim regarding the formulation of the Yom Tov of Shavuos and when do we start counting Sfira, because the prushim and the Messiah of Klal Yisrael is that we begin counting Sfiras HaOmer Mimachras HaShabbos, which is the day after the Yom Tov of Pesach, without any break, without any separation. And of course, the Tzedukim said Mimachras HaShabbos is that we start counting Sfiras HaOmer Sunday, the day after Shabbos. They read the Pasuk literally. And that is why the Mishnah Menachah says in Samachay that the process of cutting the Omer was done with great pomp and ceremony. And the Shluchei Bezin would go out on Erev Yom Tov, and they would make a bundle while the grain was still attached to the ground, so it should be easy to cut, and all the cities would gather Be'isek Gadol, and once it became dark, once the dark came, as soon as dawn came, they would say, Nu, Ba Hashemesh, Ba Hashemesh, this sickle. They would ask each question three times, Kupazu, this box. And they would answer three times, yes. And then if it was Shabbos, they would say, Shabbos Hayom. This Shabbos. They'd say, yes. And the Mishnah asks, why they have to do it with so much pomp and ceremony? Because of the Baitusim, they would say Ketziras HaOmer was not Doiche Shabbos, but Ketziras HaOmer instead was always done on Sunday. In other words, the Chachamim said Ketziras HaOmer is Mimachras HaShabbos, it's the day after Pesach. Even on Shabbos itself, and the Tzedokim would say, no, it's only on Sunday. And the Gemara tells us a humorous account that somebody asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He said, Rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, you fools, why would you think that Shavuos would always be a Sunday and you count the Omer always on a Sunday? He said, I know, your Rabbi Moshe, he loved Jews and he knew that Shavuos was only one day, so he wanted to give the Jews a long weekend, so he made sure Shavuos was always scheduled on Sunday. This way he would give a much longer vacation. But we have this ancient machlokes, ancient dispute between the Chachomim and the Tzedokim, between the Prushim and the Tzedukim, whether Ketziras HaOmer is done on the day after Pesach, or is it on the day after Shabbos? Is it always on a Sunday? So we want to try to understand what is the basis for the machlokes, al pi machshava. What was the philosophy of the Tzedukim? Why do they insist that it's always on a Sunday? And why is our tradition that it's always the day after Pesach? We know the famous Ramban on this week's Parsha, observing the fact that the Yemei HaSfira are discussed in the Parsha of the Yomim Tovim, because at first glance, why is Sfiras HaOmer discussed in the Parsha of the Mayadim? This is not a Zman of Yom Tov. We're not in a time of Yom Tov now. And the Ramban says that Hashem commanded us in B'chag HaMatzai 7 days, and Kedusha in the beginning, the Yom Tov of Pesach, Kedusha in the end, the Yom Tov of Shavuos, 49 days in between, and the 49 days in between Pesach and Shavuos are like Chol HaMoed. They're like the days of Chol HaMoed in between the first day of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres. In other words, there's this, even though we know there are two separate Yom Tovim, there's the Yom Tov of Pesach and there's the Yom Tov of Shavuos, but we can actually view it all as one binyan, one entity. In a certain sense, there's a one entity of a 50-day period, beginning with the first days, we'll call them Pesach, the last days we'll call it Shavuos, and the days of Sfira are akin to a dimension of Chol HaMoed. This is the beautiful idea advanced by the Ramban, that the Ramban gives the analogy v'hayomim hasfurim bein tayim b'chuloi shel moed bein arishon v'hashmini. And just like the eighth day of Sukkot is called Shmini Atzeres, the eighth day of this entity of 49 days, Shavuos, is also called Atzeres. So when I had the privilege to speak in Manchester, I spoke in a kollel, and I met the Rosh Kollel, Rav Yehuda Leib Wittler, and he gave me his sefer. It's called Ma'agol Hashana. And on page Reish Yud Aleph, Rav Wittler brings that from this Ramban we see that although Pesach stands on its own and Shavuos stands on its own, but in a certain sense it could be reckoned and considered an entity of Yom Tov, an entity called the 50-day period of Sfira. Let's analyze that, let's delve into that, and I think we're going to glean a very important principle in this Zman of the Year and in Avodas Hashem in general. Rav Wittler has a beautiful diuk. We know when the Jewish people left Egypt, B'tzeis Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, when the Jewish people left Egypt, they sang Hallel. And in Kuf Lamed Ches of Tehillim, they said Halleluka. Hallelu Hashem Hashem. Hallelu Avdei Hashem. Says Rav Wittler, this is a very telling phrase, Hallelu Avdei Hashem. Hagoba Atzmecha. Let's imagine for a moment, here you had people who were enslaved for 210 years. They didn't wake up when they wanted to wake up. They couldn't oversleep. They couldn't relax. They couldn't rest. They had no freedom. No freedom to go where they wanted, to do what they wanted, to live how they wanted. They had no freedom of expression. They had no freedom of family life. They were completely subjugated. And someone who's in jail for 210 years, completely enslaved, and they get out of jail, and they sing Hallelujah, the last appellation you would think they would ever apply to themselves would be Avodim. We've been there, done that. Enough with the Avdus. What about the Cheiros? It should say Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hashem, Hashem, Hallelujah, Geulei Hashem. No, Hallelujah, Avdei Hashem. That means we see a wondrous thing, that it was the desire of the Jewish people not to be free and liberated, but to have the privilege to be Avadim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is a very fundamental element of this time of the year. I want to share with you two very important questions. These are the questions of the Sefer HaKsav VaHaKabbalah of Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, who is from the Talmidei HaGoyin, and in his era, his emphasis in his commentary on the Torah was to show the seamlessness of the Torah Shebe'al Chsav with the Torah Shebe'al Peh, and how the written law cannot exist and stand on its own without the oral law. And this was the approach of Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch and Rav Meir Yechiel, and Rav Meir the Malbim, Rav Meir Leibish ben Yechiel Michal, that these Gedoilim lived in an era where the authority and the authenticity of the oral law was challenged, and they fought the Melchemes Hashem to show the veracity and authenticity and fundamental nature of the oral law. And Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg asked two very basic questions on Sfiras HaOmer, and these are questions that are enunciated also in the Sefer Yoreach LaMayadim of Rabbi Yerucham Olshin. Question number one. Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvosav, V'tzivanu Al Sfiras HaOmer. We make a bracha that we're counting the Omer. Who's counting the Omer? You counted the Omer? The Omer was a carbon. You counted the carbon? The Omer was a carbon mincha. What kind of... You don't count the carbon. You count the days. I mean, what are you counting? You're counting the number of grains in the carbon? You're counting the number of days. You start counting from the day that the carbon omer was brought. But it should say, Asher kedishanu mitzvosav, v'tzivanu al sfiras hayamim. I mean, you're counting days, you're not counting omer. Why do we count? Why do we refer to it as sfiras omer? Why is the bracha sfiras omer? The Rambam says, tzarech levar b'chol layla, sfiras omer. It's tamua. From the day of the Hakravas HaOmer. Question number two asks the Ksav HaKabbalah. When do we ever name a carbon based on the measurement of how many ounces the vessel that holds the carbon contains? Omer is a measurement. Omer is an Asira Saifa. So what we could count it, Asira Saifa, but Omer is the term used for a tenth of an Eifa. The kli, the midah, the measuring stick that they used for the carbon oimer measure was called an oimer. It contained a asir sa'ifa. So why is the name of the carbon a minchas oimer? I understand sometimes we name the carbon after the kli, ma'afei tanur, marcheshes, but we don't name it after the measurement. A lug, do we name it after the lug, the saw, the... Why are we calling the name of the carbon Minchas HaOmer? Omer is a measurement, it's not a name. So the Ksav HaKabbalah offers a very important idea. He says, first of all, we wave the carbon Omer up and down and back and forth. Why do we do that? He says as follows. What is the most dangerous threat to the Jewish people? You ready? Marv Raboisai, what is the most dangerous threat to the Jewish people? Is it anti-Semitism? No. Is it threat of annihilation? No. Is it persecution? No. It's money. M-O-N-E-Y. Kesef. Gashmius. Nothing makes a person sin. Nothing makes a person more arrogant. Nothing makes a person more corpulent. Nothing makes a person more coarse than money. Money. Like it says, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat. Klal Yisrael became fat and they rebelled. And they said, it's my money. You know why I'm wealthy? Because I'm smarter than everybody else. Because God gave me better ideas than anybody else how to make money. You know why he doesn't have money? Because he's lazy. And I'm better than him. And therefore, I run the world. That is the biggest threat to the Jewish people. Money. That's why the Gemara tells us, Yafeh Anios Li Yisrael. Poverty is good for the Jews. Now, I know what everyone's thinking. You think, you know, I'll take that challenge. Bring it on. Ribbono Shel, I think I can handle it. I think I'm ready for that one. But that's the reality. The reality is that the biggest threat to Judaism is financial success, material success. And therefore, comes the Yom Tov of Shavuos, and we take our fruits, we take our material possessions, and we wave it up and we wave it down. We say, Ribbono Shel, everything we have, we wave it in the four directions. The entire world, God, belongs to you. And everything that I have, you are mashpia on me. My silos, my threshing floors, my storehouses, my 401ks, all my repositories, it's all from you. That's the idea of the Tenufas HaOmer. Says the Ksava HaKabbalah, the HaOmer Asiris HaOifa. Isn't it odd? Why would we name a carbon after a measurement? That's the name of the carbon. How many ounces it contains? How many ephah it contains? But says Eksava HaKabbalah, the word Omer has another meaning, and this is the primary meaning of the word Omer. And if you never heard this before, it's never too late to know what Sfiras HaOmer means. There's a pasuk in Parshas Kisetze. Ki yimotze yish, if you will find a man, goinev nefesh me'achav, who kidnapped his brother, Mimneso, v'his amer boy. And he uses him. Umecharai, and he sells him. The word Omer is a lashon of enslaving. Avdos. Vihis amer bai. Somebody steals someone, and he enslaves the person, and sells him. Says Aksava Kabbalah, Omer is a lashon of avdos. Let's get something straight. Why did God take us out of Egypt? That we should be able to go free, and move out to the island and build a big house and enjoy life? No. God could have left us in Egypt. Why did he take us out of Egypt? He took us out of Egypt because he wanted to transition us from being slaves to Pharaoh to being avadim ta'kadosh baruch hu. That we are enslaved, we are subservient, we are subjects of the Almighty King. That means from the moment the alarm goes off in the morning, it is set in a way that we come early to his service, not we roll in when it's convenient for us. And our entire day is we are subject to the Melech Malchei Hamlachim. From the moment we get up, we don't take care of our business before we davening. Well, I want to send out an email and I want to check the news. No, what do you mean you want to? What do you mean you want to? This is not your world. We're Avadim Tashem. And our first responsibility is to the Melech. So we get up and we don't even walk four cubits before we wash our hands. And our first thoughts are dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And our first glance is dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we don't eat until we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we don't take care of our personal needs. We don't earn our own livelihood until we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is why God took us out of Mitzrayim. And this is the concept of Sfiras HaOmer. Omer is the Lashon of Avdos. And we are not counting the days like people count, you're like you're counting jelly beans in a bottle because you want to know how many jelly beans there are in the bottle. Oh, one day passed, 2 days passed, but says the Haksava HaKabbalah, like we find throughout Tanakh, Ki atot sa'adi tispar, God, now my footsteps you should count, V'chol sa'adi yispar. It's not to know how many footsteps you take. The point is to recognize the value of every footstep is ordained by the Almighty. So we count each day to make each day count, so to speak, to dedicate each day in the service of Hashem. Hayoim, today I dedicate this day as a day of avdus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Today is a day of service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this fits in well with the Balei Kabbalah, that each day corresponds to a different dimension of the spheroids. But in principle, the concept is we're not counting how many days passed. We are trying to give significance to the day, that this day should be Hayom Yom Ba'omer. This is a day of servitude to the Almighty. Now, the grand finality is Atzeres. Atzeres, says the Ksav HaKabbalah, is a lashon of Shavoy, captivity, restraint. In other words, we are dedicating ourselves in the service of Hashem until the great day of Atzeres. And Atzeres is, so to speak, the ultimate binding and restraining every emotion, energy, talent to HaKadosh Baruch Hu beKabbalah Satayra. Now, although it would have been nice, Marv Rabbeisai, God could have taken us out of Egypt, and it would have been nice to have like a little downtime. You know, maybe go to Florida for a week. You know, spend a few days in Orlando after everybody left after Pesach. And, you know, it's a little bit more air to breathe. You could go to Disneyland then. But no, God said, don't go to Florida after Pesach. Actually, after 200 years of slavery, now I am enlisting you into my program of Avdus. And this program of Avdus will enlist you in such totality that it will culminate in Shavuos, which is the absolute Shavoy, where you are Sheva Shavuos Milashoin Shavoy. You are Ma'aser, where you are completely bound to my will. And this brings us to something very important. If I were to ask you, why do we drink 4 cups of wine on Pesach? You would say, well, we all know the Yushalmi, the Medrash, the 4 cups of wine correspond to the 4 languages of Geula. The Haitseisi, the Hitzalti, the Ga'alti, the Lakachti. And that's the language of the Yushalmi, and that's the language of the Bereshis Rabbah, and that's the language of the Rashbam in Psachim. Comes the Gra, and the Gra says, wrong, those are not the 4 Lashonos of Geula. The 4 Lashonos of Geula are V'hoitzesi, V'hitzalti, V'ga'alti, and V'ga'alti is 2. V'ga'alti is B'zroya netuya, B'yad chazaka, U'v'zroya netuya. B'zroya netuya, U'v'shvatim gedoilam. So it's V'hoitzesi, V'hitzalti, and V'ga'alti, B'zroya netuya, U'v'shvatim gedoilam. It says everywhere in the Yushalmi, and in the Bereshis Rabbah, and in the Rashbam, and in all the Midrashim, Tos Sofer B'chol Makom, says the Gra. All the printers are in cahoots. They all got it wrong. There's no such thing as V'lakachti. You know why, says the Gra? Because if you're going to count V'lakachti, you got to count V'hevesi. And since Vehevesi is not counted, because Vehevesi is bringing us into the land of Israel, we're not going to count V'lakachti. And I took you for a people. That's very nice. It has nothing to do with the Yetzias Mitzrayim. V'hoitzeisi, I took you out. V'hitzalti, I saved you. V'ga'alti, I redeemed you. And I redeemed you b'zraya netuya v'shvatim gedoilam. But take out V'lakachti. There are about 10 different authentic Jewish sources. Yushalmi, Medrash, Rashi, Rashbam, in a few places. Medrash in a few places. That is, Tos Sofer B'chol Makom, says the Gra. They're all wrong. Now that's very hard to swallow. Number one, in kindergarten they told us, so what happened? The Mora was wrong? It's very hard to accept that. But that's what the Gra says. All the printers got it wrong. But in the Hagois, Evan Shlema on the Ra'avan, he says, how could such a thing be that all the printers got it wrong? The Yushalmi, the Medrash, Rashi, the Rashbam, the Ra'avan, the Shiltis, all the Rishonim. And therefore, it behooves us to try to answer the question of the Gra. Well, doesn't it have to be wrong? Because if we're not going to count Vehevesi, then we shouldn't count Velokachti. But the answer is that while we don't have to necessarily count Vehevesi, because Vehevesi is entering the land of Israel, and of course the land of Israel is the greatest gift God has given the Jewish people, and it's the purpose and the place where the Torah is meant to be observed. It is possible to observe the Torah outside of Eretz Yisrael. But Vilakachti is specifically referring to the giving of the Torah. And that is part and parcel, a component of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Ben Ezra says, Vilakachti, I will take you as my people when you're Mekabel the Torah. The Sfarno says, I will take you as my people at Maimon Har Sinai. The Sefer Achinuch, in his explanation for the Mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, says, why is it so important to count the Omer? Because the Sefer Achinuch says, the whole function of the Jewish people is the Torah. The Torah is the reason why God created heaven and earth. The Torah is the reason why God took us out of Mitzrayim. God said, this is the sign that I'm taking you out. When I take you out, you'll serve me on this mountain. Which means that the Iker is the Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the taking out of Mitzrayim is only a way of getting to Yitzias Mitzrayim. So, yes, Eretz Yisrael is important, but it's not part of the redemption from Egypt. But the giving of the Torah is part of the redemption of Egypt. And here's a very important idea. You know, why did God bring us to Egypt in the first place? I don't understand. Why couldn't we, you know, we had a beautiful family in Israel, and we were up to 70, so we should have, you know, continued to procreate until we were about 3 million, and then God could have taken us to the desert for a weekend and given us the Torah. What do we need to go to Egypt for? And in Egypt, we fell to the 49th level of Tumah, and how we remained there a moment longer, we would have fallen to the point of no return. What was the point of all that? Says the Shla Mitzrayim, despite the fact that it brought us to a very low level, and we had a slave mentality and a low morale, and we were languishing and wallowing in the land of Egypt, nevertheless, we acquired a very important attitude and perspective, and that is, the most important quality needed to serve Hashem is you need to know how to be an Eved. You need to know how to serve a master. And we learned that in Egypt. And once we learned how to be an Eved, God said, okay, boot camp was successful, now I'm going to transition you to becoming my Avodim. That's what God says. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. I am your God. I took you out of Egypt. Mi beis avodim, from the house of slaves. You know why I brought you to a house of slaves? To be an Eved to me. Says the Shulchan Kodesh, that's why Avram Avinu thought that his spiritual heir would be Eliezer. Why would he think it would be Eliezer? What did Eliezer have? Eliezer wasn't even Jewish. Was not his biological progeny. Why would Avram Avinu think Eliezer would be his spiritual heir? The answer is because the main characteristic needed to be a loyal and faithful member of the people of God is you have to know how to be an Eved. You can't be, so you know, I love God, but I'm not in the mood of serving Him today. I'll serve Him tomorrow. It's the consistency. It's the feeling of obligation, which is the foundation, really, of serving Hashem. So Avram thought, Eliezer is an Eved. He has this characteristic. He has this nature. He has this proper attitude, so he will inherit me. So God said, no, lo yirosh chazen, not this Eved, a different Eved. Says the Shah, this is the reason why, until today, when we've vanquished the Canaanim from the land of Israel, we still refer to the land of Israel as Eretz Canaan. I mean, Eretz Canaan, there are no Canaanim there. I understand once upon a time we'll call it the land of Canaan. Why do we continue to refer to it as the land of Canaan? The reason is because God is instructing us and God is demonstrating to us that for this to be a successful land, for the Jewish people to be able to maximize the benefit of the land, we have to know it's a land of hachna, a land of humility, a land of avdus. Yeah, the Canaanim are not there anymore, but they set the tone. Canaan is a lashon of hachna, a land of avdus. It's very interesting, the Aruch HaShulchan, in his commentary to the Haggadah, he learns that manishtano is not a question. It's not manishtano, why is this night different? We mean ma, since when does the word ma mean why? Ma doesn't mean why, ma means how. Like, ma toivu ayalecha Yaakov, how goodly are your tents, Jacob. Or, ma godlu masecha Hashem, how wondrous are your works, God. Manishtana, how different is tonight than any other night? And that's why we say, Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim. To me, the Jewish people are servants. Avadayim, they're my servants. Asher hoitzeisi oisam me'eretz Mitzrayim. The words avadayim are extra. Should say, Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim. The Jewish people are my servants. Asher hoitzeisi oisam me'eretz Mitzrayim. And I took them out of Egypt. Why the words avadayim? And the Aruch HaShulchan explains, well, you can't buy a slave against his will. But if he's already a slave, and the first master sold him, you don't need the consent of the Eved to be sold. And therefore the Pasuk says, Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, the Jews are slaves. You know why avadahim? You know why they're my slaves? Because I took them out of Egypt from the house of slavery. So I don't need their permission. I don't need their consent. I took them from the first master. Now, this is a very important and beautiful concept, and that is a parsha that we read at a certain time of the year is very much connected to that time of the year. Even though the Gemara only mentions a few different parshios that have to be read at a specific time, the Gemara says we need to read the Toichacha of B'chukaisai before Shavuos and the Toichacha of Kisavai before Rosh Hashanah. And you would think, okay, these parshios that we read now during Sfira, you know, are they connected to this Zman of the year? Well, obviously, Parshas Emor is the Parsha of Sfiras HaOmer, is always read during the Zman of Sfira. And moreover, the Zman, Parshas Emor is the Parsha that we always read before Lag BaOmer. And of course, Emor is the letters Ramah, who the Ramah's Yartzeit was Lag BaOmer. And there are many other Ramazim to Lag BaOmer and Emor. If you want to see some of them, you could see there's a beautiful shir, Emor, the incredible remez to Lag BaOmer and the Lechem HaPanim. You could check out Torah anytime. But what parsha do we read this idea of Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim? That's in Parshas Bahar. That's next week's parsha. Because that's the central idea of the Sfira. Sfiras HaOmer. Omer does not just refer to the carbon Omer. We're going to name a carbon after a measurement. No, it's Sfiras HaOmer, counting, making important these days that we commit ourselves to the Avdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu until we reach the crescendo on Shavuos, which is Atzeres, where we're bound to the will of Hashem. The Bnei Yisachar has a wondrous idea. We know there are only two mitzvot aseh, that failure to perform them is a chi of kares. That failure to perform them, is there any punishment at all ordained in this world? If somebody does not bring the carbon Pesach, and if somebody does not get a circumcision, the punishment is kares. Haloi davarhu, why is that? Well, when it comes to any other mitzvah saseh, there is no oinesh associated with it, and yet when it comes to the mitzvah of Karban Pesach and the mitzvah of Mila, there's a chi of kares. So the Bnei Yisachar says a very important idea. Yes, we know that if somebody buys an eved from a Gentile, so then the person becomes your eved. But you need to immerse the purchase, the eved, and he has to go to the mikvah l'shem avdos. Because if he goes to the mikvah to be free, he goes free and he's like a regular Jew. And therefore you need to immerse him l'shem avdos so that this slave of a Gentile now becomes your slave. But what if he has in mind that he's going to immerse l'shem ben chayren? Then he goes free. So therefore the Gemara says that if you're buying a slave from a Gentile, you need to exert authority over the slave in the mikvah to demonstrate that his immersion is l'shem avdus and not l'shem chayras. So the Gemara says he put on his head a slab of cement to show that his immersion is not to go free, but rather to for avdus. Says the Bnei Yisaschar, we were avadim to Paroi. God was trying to transition us to become His avadim. What if in that transition period, when God was taking us out, we say, hey God, this freedom is really good. We're going to Florida. We're going to Orlando. We're going on vacation. Once you free us, we're going free. We don't want you to take us out to be your avadim. We want you to take us out to do what we want. So God said, no, none of this business. I'm going to exert my authority over you in this transition period to demonstrate that this freedom is to transition you into, to segue you into avdus. So God gave us two specific mitzvahs, the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Dam Pesach and Dam Milah. That was the exertion of His influence over us, demonstrating He's not freeing us for just mere liberation, but He's transitioning us to be His avadim. Therefore, the linchpin that ensures that we are committed to God and that we don't go free and do whatever we want, that which keeps us in check is Dam Pesach and Dam Milah. That's why the punishment is so severe. There's a chi of kares, because those are the two mitzvahs that keep us in place, says the Bnei Yisaschar, a beautiful approach. Now, isn't it amazing that this pasuk, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, avadayhem, which is really the whole idea of the Exodus. The whole concept of the Exodus is to become avadim to Hashem. That means the whole concept of sviras ha'oimer. Oimer is a lashon of avdus. We're counting these days to dedicate each day to the service of Hashem, culminating with the binding ourselves on Shavuos. Isn't it telling that this principle will be reading next Shabbos during the Zman of the Omer? Now, this idea that we are servants to Hashem, this is not just like, oh, Hakaras HaToiv, God took us out of Egypt and we're really grateful to Him. This is a halachic principle. Because if a Gentile buys a Jewish slave, the Gentile is forced to free the Jewish slave in the Yovel. Why? Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. This is a reality. God already bought us. We are owned by Him. We're subjugated to Him. He cannot, the guy must release us in the Yovel. Marv Rabbi said, now we understand, the Gra says, nah, you can't count Vilakachti, because if you're going to count Vilakachti, you're going to have to count Vehevesi. Chassam Sofer and my friend Reb Shai Olivi, also my Yedid Neman, Reb Meir Bronstein, showed me this Chassam Sofer, that the Dalid Lashonos of Geula and the four Kaisos on Lel Pesach Arv hoitzesi v'itzalti v'ga'alti v'lakachti, and v'lakachti is matan Torah, that the purpose of the liberation is for matan Torah. So if you make only three tzitzis, or you drink only three kaisas, you're saying, nah, the ikur is not matan Torah, the ikur is freedom! The ikur is liberation! But you also can't drink five cups, because, and you can't have five strings of tzitzis, that's Baal Tosef. Because don't say the tachlis of all of it is to be in Eretz Yisrael. No. Because if you say that, that's like you're saying in Chutz Haaretz, there are no mitzvahs. The ikur tachlis is number four, v'lakachti eschem li la'am, which is Matan Torah. And now we understand, Rabbi Isai, why it's called Sfiras HaOmer. Omer is the main concept of Sfira. Where we're counting and dedicating ourselves, Lehis'amer Boy, to become Avodim Tashem, culminating in Shavuos. Therefore, the name of the carbon is Carbon HaOmer. It's the carbon of Avdos. And Rav Vitler quotes a wondrous idea from Rav Kosavsky, the brother-in-law of Rav Chaim Moshe Grzinski, that this is the fundamental machlokes between the Tzedukim and the Prushim. The Prushim say, you know why we have Pesach? You know why God took us out of Egypt? The very next day, we already begin dedicating ourselves to the Avdus of Hashem, culminating in the absolute restraint on Shavuos. There's no break. The next day, there's no freedom, and let's celebrate freedom and vacation and liberation and our own independence. No. Mimachras HaShabbos is the day after Pesach. There's no break in between. There's no liberation in it of itself. Pesach doesn't stand by itself. It's not a separate entity. It's part of one entity, 50 days. Liberation from Pharaoh, transitioning us into Sfiras HaOmer. Omer is the Zman of Avdus. But the Tzedokim say, no. Relax. There's a time to serve God. But independence and liberation stands on its own. We don't count the Sfira right after Pesach. Come on, we need a little breather over here. We got to go free and establish our own viewpoints and our own aspirations and our own desires. And then we'll get ready for the next period on a different occasion. But this was not just a dispute in whether we take a pasuk literally or we interpret it allegorically, but there was something more fundamental over here, and that is the Tachlis HaChayim and the Tachlis of Pesach. And the truth is, unfortunately, the majority of the Jewish people today only celebrate Pesach. Pesach is perhaps the most celebrated Jewish holiday. I have a friend who's a caterer, and I say, oh, where are you going for Pesach? Are you going away? No, you can't go away. Pesach is the busiest time of the year. Well, I say, so busy? So many people are ordering takeout? I thought Pesach's the one time a year people cook their own food. He said, yeah, in the frum world, there's less takeout. But his most orders of the year, you know, all Jews want traditional Jewish food, Pesach. So it's his busiest time of the year. They want kosher style food. So Pesach is very celebrated. But it ain't connected with Sfiras HaOmer and Shavuos. But our tradition is V'hitzesi v'hitzalti v'ga'ad v'lakachti, which is Kabbalas HaTorah, is part of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's why Dam Pesach and Dam Milah are so important, because it ensures that when we go free, it's not an independent freedom, but we're being transitioned into being Avadim of Hashem. And Rav Vitler brings that the seven parshiyos that we read during Sfiras HaOmer, from Parshas Tazria until B'chukaisai, help us fulfill the tafkid of this zman, namely of being Avodim Tashem, to be Mamleches Koyanim. Mamleches Koyanim, of course, is Parshas Emor, the Parsha of Kuhuna, V'goy Kadosh, and Parshas Kadoshim. And the Avdus is described in Bahar. And of course, B'chukaisai, Shetiu Amelim Batoira, and the repercussions of celebrating liberation on its own. What's Tazria Mitzoyra doing in this man? Because one of the chief aspects of being an Eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shmiras HaPeh V'Haloshoin, which is gleaned from Parshiyos Tazria Mitzoyra. So, May Oyvai Techakimeni, we have to become wise from our enemy. And if the Tzedokim want to create a gap between Pesach and Shavuos, and they don't want that freedom, they don't want that Avdus to be transitioned into be Avdei Hashem, we have to realize that that's a primary and important avoida during this time of the year. Sfiras HaOmer, says the Ksav HaKabbalah, it's a lashon of V'Hisamer Bay, a language of servitude, because that was the Tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the ultimate expression of that is Shavuos. Shavuos is a lashon of Shavoi, where we are in captivity. So you say that then this is the most depressing time of the year. Who wants to be an Eved? I mean, Mitzrayim was enough. Why would we want to be an Eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But let's remind ourselves, the difference between Paroi, being an Eved to Paroi, is Paroi wanted to enslave our bodies to be able to subjugate our souls. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us is that we should be avodim to Him to liberate our souls, so that we are not bound by the shackles of the need and the draw for the pleasures of this world. As Ibn Ezra says, the true king, the true melech, is someone who is not an eved to tavas olam hazeh. So by being an eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's how we experience the true cheiros. Ein ben chayren elamisha oisek b'tayra. So we could say a very important idea. While the tzedoikim think that the cheiros happens on the day after Pesach, God liberated us, we go free. God said, no. You're missing the point. You're not free yet. Because if you're going to do whatever you want, you'll still be an eved. You'll be an eved to the Yetzer Hara. You'll be an eved to your desires. Give me another 50 days. You subjugate yourself to the Torah, then you'll truly be free. Ein ben chayrin elamisha isik b'Torah. So we could say we didn't really become free from avdus until we went through the dedicating ourselves as avodim to Hashem, culminating with the Yomtif of Shavuos, and then we truly go free. Ein ben chayrin elamisha isik b'Torah. Okay, everyone, thank you everybody for joining. Bracha v'atzlacha. Have a wonderful day. Kol tov. Thank you.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.